Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Radio Status to Address Life. I am your host. I am your boy. I am your man. But I couldn't do it without my cousin. What's up, cuzzo?
Hey, I can't call it, man. Everybody, welcome to the show. Everybody, for another great weekend. What's up with you, cuz?
Just trying to make it, fam. Just trying to make it without cussing anybody out. So, Paris went on this week. It continued. Mali went on this week. It continued. We saw a lot of ugliness with a number of governors throughout the United States of America talking about they didn't want any immigrants coming into the country. There was some new data released about how the myth about Mexicans coming in is actually a myth. There are a lot of Mexicans, a lot more Mexicans that are actually leaving the country, going back home. And why would they not? You know, I know a couple of folks whom are not of American origin who came here, decided to stay here. They worked for a very long time, but they're not going to retire here. They're going to retire back into their native land, and they're going to retire there because it's cheaper to buy land there. They then use the money here. They send a little bit back at a time, buy a piece of property, build a home, which tends to be a very nice home. You know what I'm saying? Nice piece of land. They're good. They go back. They live off the Social Security for the rest of their lives, and they straight. Because the dollar is still the mighty thing on earth. So, not the mightiest, but it's still mighty. So, you know, it goes a heck of a lot further there, wherever there may be, usually, than it does here. So, why would they not? I mean, hell, I'm not opposed to retiring outside of the country. Why would I be? That's dumb. That is dumb. You know, why stay here and struggle and suffer when I can go to a country that has just as good, if not better, healthcare system, much better weather, though I love my four seasons, and I absolutely do, but much better weather, and live for pennies on the dollar versus, you know, struggle here. God forbid anything happens, and, you know, the duck cuts me off, because, you know, I got the duck. Gotta get the duck now. Yeah, look, y'all laugh about that shit. But I am serious about that. Yo, you just never know. There was a young man that I worked with recently, and he had an aneurysm at work. Now, it wasn't as bad the way it killed him, But it took him out for an extended period of time, and he didn't have a dunk.
It's enough to wake
now,
you up.
The bad thing is, he wasn't working for the company long enough for his benefits to kick in. You know what I'm saying? Right. So he didn't have short-term or long-term disability. Literally, this happened about 2, maybe 3 weeks after he started working for the company. So he was short. Now, his wife had to duck through her work, her while she was out, which helped them along the way. But there came a point where the money started getting thin. So he found himself in a situation where he had to either, you know, go out on disability, which would have been a pay cut, or return to work. I don't know what he did, you know, because I haven't really talked to him since, but I left that company. But, I mean, dog, that's a hell of a position to be in. I mean, you're not 100%, and you have to force yourself, or you're forced into a situation where you need to decide rather to go back to work or get yourself back to where you are 100%. And like I said, you laugh, joke as much as you want. That thing ain't no joke, man. You got to be covered. And I called my man, who is my insurance agent, and I was like, dog, you know, let's look at upping my coverage. You know, I'll pay a couple more dollars a month, but that's a real thing there, man. You know, and because, you know, we both had the advantage of serving in the military. And these are things that we think about when we're in the military because, you know, Uncle Sugar's going to take care of you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I mean, but the thing about it, you know, it's also a reality that more younger people are facing. You know, back in the days, you know, you didn't have to worry about it if you were under 50, you know. You know, a lot of us young folks would kind of seem like we felt like we were made of Teflon, like nothing would happen to us. But like you said, with us serving in the military, you really see death comes earlier, illnesses come earlier, ailments come earlier. So you start focusing on those things at an earlier stage in your life. The sad thing about it, not everybody has the opportunity, or not everybody chooses to serve in the military. So they don't recognize that the reality is at any age you could be, you know, you could be succumbed to, or you can succumb to injury or ailments and getting that keeps you out of work. So they don't prepare for it. But I mean, the point that I'm making is nowadays more than ever, stuff like this is a reality for younger people, and we definitely got to pay attention to it, prepare for it sooner than later.
Dude, I mean, I wish nothing on anybody, but, dog, I'd rather be safe than sorry any day of the week, for real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't have a lot of shit. And, you know, to go from not having a lot of shit to having nothing, I ain't trying to go there. You know what I'm saying? I'm really not trying to go there. I like the little bit of shit that I have. And I would like, if at all possible, to be able to keep it and to build on it, to make it stronger, to make it better. But I can't do that if every time I turn around, I'm fighting and clawing, trying to stay on top because I want to be cheap and not pay a couple dollars a month for this daggone insurance. And, you know, look, insurance isn't cheap. It's not cheap, but it's the thing that we all wish we had when we need it of the thing that we have, at all times. You know what I'm saying? It's not that type of situation where you can just be like, all right, well, I'll get it now, but you already hurt, so we ain't paying for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I use this insurance and, you know, I have no problems with, you know, these motherfuckers might start paying us. But I'm not gonna say that name. But I use insurance whenever I take a trip, and I use it because it's good and it's cheap. You know, I got that Ali's mentality about everything in life. So, but I rented a car one time, and I had just finished getting the car, so I called and was like, "Yo, I need to add coverage to the car." It's like, "Well, when you get in there?" So, "Well, I just got it. Like, just signed it. Well, we can't cover you." I'm like, I ain't going over there where I literally just signed the damn paper. well, you have to call us before you process your contract. If not, then we can't cover you. I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? But I was fortunate. Nothing happened on that trip, So I was very fortunate that I was able to come through unscathed on that one. But I use it. I definitely use it, man. I don't buy the coverage from my insurance agent or the rental car company. I don't do that shit. But I will buy it through them because it's cheaper. It's definitely cheaper. And it's the same thing. You know what I mean? Definitely the same thing. All right. But staying a little focused, not going too far away. So the Parisian attack that happened last week, and we talked about that last week. So this week, the cats were taken out that supposedly mastermind this whole attack. Brother Barry, I'm going to get you on pretty soon, sir. I see you up. We'll bring you on pretty soon. Thomas Barry is going to join us today. He's the host of Rant Radio, so he's going to come on and talk to us a little bit. He's in Minnesota, and we know we had a shooting up there recently and whatnot, so we want to definitely get some ears, eyes, knowledge on the ground and get his perspective on what's going on that way. But to continue on, so the cat whom supposedly masterminded this, he was taken out the other day. And I said to myself, you know, police got these dudes. The French police got these dudes. They came in, stormed the building, took these dudes out with very little incident or accident. The French police did this. Okay. Now, if y'all want to believe that, that's fine. But
yeah,
the next time you call Daniel,
they weren't guns blazing like that.
The next time you call Daniel and Daniel talking about, look, I got to go because I got to go on this training exercise to Montana, you need to understand Daniel ass ain't in Montana. You know what I'm saying? Like, Daniel, I ain't been able to get contact with you, dog, for like 3 weeks.
Man, I was in the woods, man. You know, I was out in the field.
Just turn on the news and follow the news events that happened over the past 3 weeks. And you know where Daniel was. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
all right,
that's funny. That's funny because, like, when I heard it, that's the same thing that came to my mind. Like, really? Really?
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
The French did that.
Now, I'm not talking, you know, I know the French, the French not slouches, you know what I'm saying? I know they're not complete,
right.
You know, they're not punks, you know what I'm saying? But the way it was done and the effectiveness of it, like,
mm-hmm.
Man, these are international terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these aren't, like, local thugs or something like that they had to go in there and beat down. These are international terrorists, and this is another country
moved in, took them out with no consequence or collateral damage to any other body. We're going to bring Brother Barry on. Good morning, Brother Barry. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. How about yourself?
Yeah, good morning, sir. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, man, thank y'all. Man, y'all sound like y'all already started, man, and talking some good stuff this morning.
Well, you know how we do, family. It's all in the family.
You have to get into stuff like this, man, because, like, again, you know, I get the purpose of the media, you know, being a radio show host now. That's why I get the purpose. But what I always try to tell people all the time is don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors. You have to really understand. And part it's about having awareness. And you can't believe that the Paris local authorities went in and executed this kind of this
raid,
particular job. This raid
with that
kind of sophistication.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It went ahead and shut them dudes down.
Okay. The French did that. Yep. They did that.
Whatever helps you sleep tonight.
Well, you know, the French president told the people and that they wanted them to go out and celebrate and enjoy each other. And, you know, my thing is, you know, this war on terror. I grew up in the 80s and, you know, watched all of the Chuck Norris films. I know how much the European don't like really, you know, really still are mad at the Arabs since the Crusades, and you know they always use them as a pawn as far as this whole boogeyman theory, right? But my thing is, you know, at the end of the day, the issue around the country is still the problem's still gonna persist. You know, as long as any of these colonizing countries are occupying these people's homelands or dictating the politics in their country, it's still going to be a problem. And no one talks about the stopping of the of interfering in them folks' business. And that's pretty much, you know, if you're black, you know, the one thing we learned growing up is stay out of other folks' business. You don't want to get you don't want to be in that kind of problem. Stay out of people's business. White folks need to learn around the globe, mind your own business. And as long as you mind your own business, then most folks are going to leave you alone.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, it's sad to see what happened over there in France, but we've known they've had an immigrant problem for a long period of time. We know about 2010 when they had the riots and stuff like that over there. So they have a lot of ugly history, but I'm not believing no police officer has ran up in anywhere and kicked some folks' ass and nobody said anything. I mean, that's just not how it works. And if you know, it's just like saying if you're in your neighborhood, in any city, if you see some Mexican police running up in, everybody's going to go crazy on the Mexican police. So that's not how shit works. People don't normally, like, let out-of-towners or people, foreign entities, just roll up in and kick ass and leave without a scratch. Just don't know what happens.
Like if you look at the if you were actually watching CNN post you know, at the end of the raid, the reporters were saying how eerily calm the streets were, how the streets were completely empty, you know, and police officers were yelling at them to get back into the houses and stuff like that. But this is Paris. Like, this isn't like some back street in a podunk town in the United States. Paris is always busy, always jumping. So I find it, again, hard to believe that this street was just calm and desolate during the time prior to the raid, during the raid, and after the raid. You know, again, the sophistication and the way this thing was handled, to me, doesn't seem like it was just a Paris operation. You know, but of course we would never know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody,
quiet on the movie set. That's what they were saying. Quiet on the movie set.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it's all good, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But I think the president said it best last week. You know, if you want to pop off, go ahead and pop off. But, hey, I'm minding my business.
Did Obama say pop off?
He said pop off.
Did Obama say pop off in a damn
in his rarest form of gangster. You know what I'm saying? In his rarest form of gangster, you know what I'm saying? He was, hey, if you want to pop off, go ahead and pop off, cuz. You know what I mean? I ain't going to stop you, but I ain't doing nothing right now. I'm chilling. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it is what it is, man.
Okay, so there was a lot of talk about that comment that he made. I mean, there was a YouTube remix and all kinds of stuff like he just went hood on everybody because he used pop off. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, dog? And I know later on he had to be back at the crib like, y'all, seriously, dog? Like, I can't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just want me here just to nod and smile. That's it?
Pretty much.
Man, fuck y'all. He had to, like, I can't say nothing. And then Sasha and Malia got it. You know they got it. Because, you know, he blamed one of them. See, if I wasn't listening to y'all early in the day, it would have never came to me. So you know they got it. I mean, he didn't yell at them, but you know, with some play in the house about that. You know, well, not, I don't know because I wasn't in the house, but I'm just saying, I don't think he yelled off.
You can imagine.
I think, you know, it was play. Yeah, it's some play in the house about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then, let's continue down this line. Then we'll get to Mally. But. Not Martin, because he's an idiot and still an ass, but we'll get to Mally, the actual country. Your boy Ted Cruz went on the defensive talking about if the president wanted to say something about him, come say it to his face. And I'm just looking at this dude. And the whole time I'm thinking about what Chris Rock said. Chris Rock, you are absolutely right. President Obama then fucked it up for everybody. See, it was a time when white people were dead. Like, you know what I'm saying? Obama coming, he's being all nice. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that because there's plenty of us that's like that. There are more of us like that than a lot of folks give credit for. But he like, that would have been the time, though, he never would have said that. You know what, though? He would have said it. But he would have said it surrounded by other people that looked just like him, and they all would have looked alike because they would have been wearing those right robes with those pointy hats. I'm just saying, that's what I said. So he would have said. He would have said. You know what I'm saying? But then the governors, these idiots are banding together, talking about they aren't accepting any refugees. So my brother, great friend of the show, Dan Gaskins, OG Dan Gaskins said, and I loved it, he grabbed a map, he posted it on Facebook, and he said, this is a map of all the governors that have the constitutional right to deny immigrants to their state. And it was blank. this is perfect. Yeah, like, y'all are getting all into a tissy. And then, you know, look, I still support his speakership. I still support his speakership. Paul Ryan, idiot ass, because he had to do what he had to do, comes out, passes a resolution through the House, rammed it through the throat, approving no immigrants allowed in the U.S. Now it's going to go to the Senate where it's going to die. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely going to die in the Senate. It's not going to happen. And it will never make it to the president's desk. But he had to do what he had to do. I'm not mad at him. He fought the fight that he needed to fight on the right side this go around. So later, he puts that in his pocket for later on when there's another fight that he knows is just stupid, idiotic, and they ain't going to win. He just pulls that card out and says, yeah, look, I fought this one, can't fight him on this one, you know, as hard. Now, I'll put up a little fight just to show the smoke and mirrors, but we can't go that hard on this one. We need to just let this thing go and move on. That's why I was happy about him getting elected Speaker of the House instead of that idiot McCarthy whom they were propping up. Because they see that boy there, he wouldn't have let it go. That would have been red meat. He would have ate it, chewed on it for the next 8 months and just kept rehashing the same stupid shit, and we would have gotten nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good on that. I'm sorry. I had a little rant, but I'm good.
Hey, well, I would say this much about Cruz and his comments about Obama. You know, I would ask Ted Cruz to, talk to Joe Lieberman about President Obama. And when you say something that President Obama doesn't like and when he catches you one-on-one, I've seen him check Joseph Lieberman. He checked Lieberman pretty hard inside a congressional hall after his speech that President Obama gave. So, you know, this thing about telling President Obama to say it in his face, the president ain't scared of none of the white guys.
Yeah,
he will confront him if he needs to. That's one thing. The other thing I would say is you guys are right, though. Chris Rock was right as far as them not being scared. They're not scared enough of President Obama, and I think part of the reason why they're not is that a lot of them they're trying to gin up this thing where, Cruz, his last name is Cruz, so he's Mexican in the first place. So, his grandfather was probably an immigrant, more than likely. So I don't understand how these guys have these beefs with immigrants, one. Two, I don't understand how they had these beefs with President Obama, because in the end, here's the thing. The president can only do so much. He doesn't have total control. The Congress controls the purse strings. Well, if you're doing your job as a politician, then you make sure that the money that President Obama needs, he doesn't get. And if you're doing your job. But if you're running for president and you're grandstanding and giving these crazy-ass speeches that Ted Cruz is giving, then, you know, you can talk like John Wayne all you want to.
Yeah.
He's a Mexican John Wayne who forgot that John Wayne was killing Mexicans.
Well, you know, I think it's bigger than the now, though. I don't think it's about what's going on now with the presidency. I really think that – I always try to think 10 steps ahead of what the situation is.
Right.
If President Obama responded to his critics the way they want him to respond, Because even when he responds in a hood way, it's still a presidential hood way. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's still proper speech, you know, elegancy. And, you know, okay, if you want to pop off, hey, by all means, gentlemen, we can pop off. He still has his
right.
element of hood. But
right.
you know, but if he went in on people, they will retreat and attack and cower away. Oh, my God, you see the president's a bully. Now we can't have this again. If
right.
he responded, if he didn't handle the situations with poise like he always does, 10 years from now, you know, when it's time to, later on down the line, when it's time to elect another president, if another black man or black woman was putting themselves in for the candidacy, then his responses would come into play subconsciously. You know, it wouldn't be something that they play in the media, but he's paving the way for future black presidents down the line. So he has to make sure that he maintains his poise, even if the white guys come at him disrespectfully, come at him sideways, say all these type, like, again, slinging them the John Wayne jargon and stuff like that. They can do that, but he knows that he can't do that for the future of other African Americans who want to become president. So
right.
he handles it well every time that he's presented with these kind of things. He doesn't back down, but he does it the right way.
So moving to Molly, because we got to keep chat, got to keep today moving. Over 20 people lost their lives Friday when the luxury hotel was taken over, you know, for the most part, by extremists. I won't call them Islamic extremists because, you know, that's easy to throw out and not. I'm not 100% sure that those jokers are 100% sure. But the Radisson Blue Hotel in Mali was the site of the attack. It was conducted by at least two people. And the gunmen stormed the building. And they took hostages, killing, again, over 20 people. The counts go from 21 to 27. 20 and over is, you know, it is what it is at this point. It doesn't matter. The 20 people that lost their lives because some people wanted to be idiots and assholes. Now,
right.
The center of these attacks, though, it seems to be Belgium. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's different. That's really, really different. That's like, well, if you've never been, that's like saying that the center of all the terrorism is happening and is coming out of Amsterdam. First thing you think
right.
about is weed smoking Amsterdam, and you ain't thinking about no terrorists in Amsterdam. You think about Belgium and terrorists. You think about Belgium and waffles. God damn it, I'm not the fucking damn sheriff, and it better not be king. I wasn't Mrs. Butterworth on mine. You know what I'm saying? But hey, man, it's no one's immune to how these cats are moving around with very porous
right.
borders in Europe, as we have here in the United States, very porous borders. People can move freely from here to there. Cousin, you very well know, I know. You know, it's nothing for you to hop on the train in GE and be in, I'm sorry, in Germany, I'm sorry, family. Be in Germany and go to Switzerland. Go to Belgium, go to Amsterdam, go to Paris. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's a weekend.
Yeah.
And I ain't talking about the whole weekend.
Yeah, that's Friday, Saturday,
o'clock.
Come back on Sunday.
Yeah, you get off work at 4 o'clock. You had a nice little spot in the evening. By the time you figure you want to stop in the evening, that ain't hard. That ain't hard
yeah.
at all. So is this something, the question I'm trying to get to, gentlemen, is this something that is overbloated, or is this something that we all really need to be concerned about moving forward?
I think it's overblown. And in my opinion, I'm always looking at these terrorist things. I always, when the world are paying attention to normally white supremacy. And anytime you have issues with white supremacy and the world is paying attention to it, the first thing you get is a terrorist attack, and now we all got to see and we are the world together.
Right.
And we saw that, and I always remind people, September 10th of 2001, the entire world outside of the United States, Israel, the United Kingdom, and France, and Germany, were talking about racism and Zionism being the number one problem in the world. September the 11th happens the next day, and no one's talking about racism and Zionism. It's very important that we focus on that. They were at the United Nations talking about that in New York at the time. So you have to really look at how the world, when the world is uniting and the world is finding its own problems, what happens, the purveyors of peace all of a sudden show up and they have to save. Oh, remember, you were just talking about these people being the problem. Now they're the heroes. So that's one thing, I always look at events and say, I'm trying to figure out, well, what was going on at that time? It's never the event that we're looking at directly. It's always something else, and the event is just a distractor and to look in another direction. Here inside the United States, for instance, we were all focused on the Missouri situation, and we were, like, looking at the Missouri situation, and it was a lot of debate going on amongst African Americans. Say why, predominantly white institutions versus HBCUs. That's what had our attention. So you have a lot of things, and I'm pretty sure in these other countries, around the world, they were talking about other things that were probably, interesting topics that probably had them thinking more critically. The terror thing, when you're terrorized or you're scared, you don't think logically. You just react. You know, it's either fight or flee, right? So, that's what terrorism does. I'm still shocked that almost, we're looking at 14 years later, and we're still talking about a war on terror. How do you have a war on a tactic? It's sort of like saying the war on drugs. It's like, so we're having a war on a substance? Like, that doesn't even make sense all into itself, logically. So it's a lot of illogical reaction to these things. And while, yes, we know that there are men and women who are strapping bombs to their backs, blowing up folks, I think that a lot these people get a lot more credit than what they deserve. And I live in the Twin Cities where we have a Somali community who seem to get a lot of people, a lot of young Somalis inside of the Twin Cities seem to end up back overseas working with Al-Qaeda. And, so that's something to think about. And then we have to ask ourselves as African-Americans, we got to be critical too. And we have to ask the question of, well, this country here who brought us over here, we never asked to get here. We never asked one time to come here. We never got reparations for them bringing us over here. We've never got even proper treatment like everyone else that comes to this country. How is it possible that you bring people over here that's possibly on your terror list and you can't even reconcile your differences with us? But you want us to join the military to fight for you. So when I see things like this, it just makes me scratch my head and say, man, here it is. This is the perfect mess that these white folks have created, and they need to clean it up. That's all I can think about it.
Well, Thomas, to speak on that, though, not directly, because I respect your opinion. I don't always agree, but I respect it. Talking about the Twin Cities I wanted to talk about, there was a shooting there recently.
Yeah.
Of a young man, and what's going on with that whole thing?
Man, I just got a text this morning. I've been on the phone. That's why I kind of got on late here. I've been on the phone. They just had some Klan members who sent some poisoned food to the people who are out there, front like they were helping the folks out, and they actually were sending people poisoned food. What's going on is a young man was shot down, Lamar Clark. He was shot down by the police last Saturday night. He had a domestic dispute with his girlfriend. They both were drinking, playing cards. Licks were passed. They were hitting each other. The ambulance was called. EMT had her in the back of the ambulance. He's looking in the back of the ambulance. I guess he got into it with one of the EMT workers, and they were arguing, and they called the police. The police had the brother. A lot of accounts said that the brother was either handcuffed or he was laying flat on his stomach, and they shot him in the face.
Dang.
So I got a 5-year-old in my class, inside of my room, my kindergarten class, and he saw the man laying out there afterwards. A lot of kids in the community heard the shots. We've been seeing a lot of stuff. This isn't the first time that the Twin Cities have had this happen in the past 2 years. We had another young brother by the name of Terrence Franklin who had a similar situation where he was trapped in a house in a basement with six cops and just this one young man, and he ended up shot in the head. And they said that he was somehow in a struggle with the cops. Now listen to this story because I'm about to tie them together. In a struggle with the cops, he took one of the cops' guns, and that's why the other cop shot him in the head. Now, no one was inside of his home because he broke in. He was running from the cops. He was in a traffic accident. He seen the police. They chased him, and he took it. Well, they stopped him. Now, here's the thing. He had no priors. He had no weapons on him. He had no drugs on him. He saw these cops and took off running, which tells me that he had previous run-ins with these cops. So those cops mm-hmm. got off. In this situation with Brother Clark, now the police are saying that in a struggle with the police, he touched one of the cops' guns or grabbed one of the cops' gun, and he got shot because of that. Now listen to the story once again. He grabbed the cop's gun, and the other cop shot him. Meanwhile, the witnesses say, no, he was in handcuffs and subdued on his belly when the cop pulled out the gun and shot him in the face.
So this is something that this is their tactic, in a sense. This is something that they have scripted. Hey, man, if this happens, this is what we're going to say. It worked one time, so why wouldn't it work again?
Hey, man, yes, and this goes back to I was 16 years old, 1993. I was on a Metro Transit bus going home. A young sister I know who was a neighbor, she got into it with some old drunk guy in front of the bus. She pulled out a knife, and I'm in the back of the bus. So I ain't got nothing to do with it. Got my headphones on, bobbing my head. I think I was listening to Compton's Most Wanted. I was enjoying myself. And cop stopped
and
the bus.
And she up in this motherfucking shit.
Right. You know, I'm looking out the window, man, like, yo, hurry up and do whatever y'all got to do so I get the hell home. And the cop came in, female cop comes on. I guess she was talking to the people up front. I wasn't paying her no attention because they had nothing to do with me. She came, walked to the back of the bus, snatched my headphones off my head, and stomped on my headphones.
I
stood up, we got into it. Me and her and her partner and then a bunch of other cops rushed me, and they beat me. But their excuse for beating me was that I grabbed one of their guns. So, see, this is an old story. This is an old policeman trick, right? And I'm pretty sure that this is something that they tell anyone with a shooting or beating or what have you. These situations are not new. We have Black Lives Matter here. We have a large part of our community who do not agree with Black Lives Matter, but they're still out protesting the shooting as well. But there's a beauty to what's going on with us standing up. But brothers, let me tell y'all the ugly side. I know you guys are another part of the country. And if you have this happen in your city, you might see this as well. The ugly side is that a lot of those problems that we have as a community with people not getting along with each other, people not having unity, those things are rearing its head. We were arguing with one another at the initial police conference after the shooting, calling each other poverty pimps and everything else. So we're arguing in front of mixed company. A lot of us, a lot of folks, I don't want to say us because I believe Black Lives Matter has an important stake. And, you know, if we support and we celebrate Dr. King and the SCLC, we have to celebrate Black Lives Matter as well because they're using the same tactics. So if, a lot of the local folks don't want black lives there. So they're arguing amongst each other, trying to force each other out. So I'm saying that to say this, if it happens in your town, just remember people, we have to learn, we don't argue in front of mixed company. White folks is mixed company to black folks. When we got issues, we have meetings behind closed doors and settle our differences. and we need to focus on whatever the problem is at that time. So it's a lot of beautiful things happening, brothers, but it's a lot of sad stuff, too. Another quick update, too. Not only did the brother get shot and the people are protesting, but let me tell you about our mayor. Got to put her on blast while I'm here. Our mayor, if you guys haven't heard of her, her name is Betsy Hodges. It was this. She had made the news a year and a half ago for this pointer gate, where she was standing, pointing, hip pointing with a brother, and then they said that she was going up gang signs.
The white mayor
that's married to the black man that everybody loves so much. Well, this mayor, she called a meeting with the Black Lives Matter movement and some other leaders to the police headquarters. She supposedly called this meeting. She is in Miami. I don't know how you call a meeting in Minneapolis and being in Miami, but she did. And when she called the meeting, when they showed up, the police hopped out with paramilitary gear. And that's where you saw the stuff on the news with the mace, the fighting, the pushing, the shoving. That all started from the mayor with the pointer gate. She tricked our folks.
Okay. Detroit. There's a gas station in Detroit in which a young 13-year-old was accused of stealing something. So one of the workers there pulled the gun on him. The mother of the worker, the mother of the child, called the police. The police did nothing. So she went over to a New Era Detroit meeting, and told them. So yesterday, their members stood around the gas station and blocked the gas station from getting any business all day. Shut it down.
That's what you want to do?
We're going to show you. I got to reach out to them. I got to get somebody from New Era on. Cousin, write that down, man. We got to get somebody. New Era Detroit. We got to get somebody from them on, no doubt.
That's dope. I like that. I think that's what's needed. You know, I'm right now in the process of working with some other folks, man. We're trying to work out a middle game here in the Twin Cities. And what we're telling folks is, hey, man, the protesting, Black Lives Matter was here last year for a protest. They shut down Highway 35. They did that already. So shutting down another highway ain't no big deal. They protested the police station already. They did that last year. Not a big deal. The results are still the results, man. Nobody got charged in those particular crimes. The police still scape-free. So what I'm telling brothers and sisters is, look, it's time for us to meet up and talk about the next phase. The prosecutors in these murders, what we have to know as the people around the country, prosecutors do not have to wait for a grand jury to indict anybody. The prosecutor can indict or charge anybody with a murder that they feel like they have enough evidence to, or they feel like they can get enough evidence to charge. Just think about it. If Pookie kills Ray Ray, right, they're going to say Pookie's wanted for murder. Soon as they catch Pookie, whether it's 30 minutes later or 30 days later, they still going to charge Pookie with Ray Ray's murder, right?
Yeah.
So why are we treating these murders of unarmed black men, women, and children by the police as crimes? Because if it's a crime, that's what we do. Hey, you're the person with the gun. You agree that you fired the gun, right? Yeah, I fired the gun. Well, we don't know if your story makes sense, but for now, hey, man, the burden of proof is about to be on your ass. Because we're going to charge you, right? We're going to charge you with a crime. Because this man was clearly, he was clearly unarmed. And last time I checked, even a domestic dispute don't mean that you're supposed to end up in a body bag. So we have to, around the country, we have to start demanding these prosecutors to do their job and stop being being slick, especially these Democratic-appointed or elected prosecutors. Those sisters in Baltimore caught a lot of flack. But in my opinion, those sisters in Baltimore, the mayor as well as the district attorney, did what democracy is supposed to be about. Hey, you can't harm the populace. You can't kill the populace and then hide behind your badge or your union. Nobody else can hide behind a union, right?
Right, you know? Right.
So we have to start demanding these things and start saying, look, You know, we want two things. We want charges right away. And if we don't get charges, we know, just like the people in Detroit, we know that the city can't operate without money. Well, we're going to start hitting you at your most the places where you make the most money at, and we're going to stop going there, whether it's the downtown shopping areas or the nightclubs or whatever. We got Target as one of the largest financial contributors to the Twin Cities. Man, look, Black Friday coming up. If black folks don't show up to Target and say, hey, we need these cops charged, then the cops are going to get charged because Target is going to put the pressure on the prosecutor and say, hey, next time you have an election, brother, you can forget about our money. Our money is going on the competition.
Okay, let's keep it moving again. We got to keep the show moving today. Jared got what did he get? He got 7 years?
17. 17 years.
Oh, 17
years.
Like that,
yeah, that was hard on Jared right there. They did him dirty.
They did him dirty. Man, I know he deserves every damn year.
No, hey, man, he deserves more. He deserves more, guy. That was a joke, homie.
Shout out to the sister who's the judge on that case. The prosecutor was asking for 12. His defense was asking for 5. She gave the 17.
Right.
And I loved her response to Jared. Her response was like, just so classy. Like, I know people love the Obama pop off quote, but man, her response to him about his wife being a single mom was like the coolest shit I heard in a long time. She told that dude, like, flat out, she said, look, you're leaving your wife $7 million. She'll be fine. Your ass getting the $7 million. Period.
Right.
You know, so I could definitely feel that sister on that one there, man. Jared. Oh wait, but this is the comedy in it all though. Jared said that part of the reason why he was feeding for these little kids was his Subway diet.
So he gonna blame Subway like fat people blame McDonald's.
Go check the transcript of his explanation on why he sometimes he had a fetish for little kids, boys, and definitely his favorite was little girls, and he blamed his Subway diet for this fetish.
They were looking for less because supposedly he didn't have sex with anybody under 16, if I'm correct like that. No, I don't think it was 12. I think it was more like 16. Seriously, I think it was 14 to 16, some crap like that. So they were saying, like, you know, it was so close to being of consent that.
So close.
It's wrong.
So Jared did a pass because it was close.
Exactly. That's what they was. That was his defense's argument, correct.
Wow.
I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just telling you that was his defense's argument. So that's why they were looking for, that's why they were looking for the smallest thing. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, Jerry
you know,
yeah.
But you know, this the issue that we have in our country goes all the way back to the European what I'm going to call it, invasion of the Americas. When they came here, they had their set ways. They had their way or their views on religion. They had their views on values. They had their views on American structure. It was their way or the highway, point blank, bottom line. Forget the fact that the Native Americans were here. They already had their ways established. They had their own customs and traditions. It was their way or the highway. And it was only effective when it benefited them. Now, everything that we've been talking about over the last 10 or 15 minutes, when it comes down to the young man who or the way they handled, hey, well, he grabbed my gun. There's another gentleman that was caught on a video camera at a gas station where he grabbed a white police officer's gun. He was a white man. He grabbed a white police officer's gun. She drew her gun on him, and nothing happened. She held the gun on him until police came. They apprehended the guy. They didn't kill the guy. She didn't even tase the guy. And even with the gun drawn, he went after the gun again. Nothing happened. Same thing with Jared. Jared commit these horrific acts. Nothing happens. a young African American male does something even remotely close to it, he's going down for 50 years. You know, it doesn't equal because we give them the power. We don't have even elected Democrats. You know, the white Democrats definitely don't have black interests at the core of their political views. We don't have enough African Americans in these small towns, like small towns like Ferguson, small towns like Killeen, Texas, who are predominantly black towns, but they don't have black representation. You know, we don't have the people in the position that we need them in and to be effective. And until we can actually get people in place, we're never going to really see the results we need to see. With Black Lives Matter, eventually white people are hoping that we lose the steam, that we lose the momentum that we have with the Black Lives Matter movement, and then everything go back to where it was. They're waiting it out. They're not really panicking about Black Lives Matter. Because if you really see it, what's up?
Do y'all think that white people are more... Because I saw some sisters made this point, and I never thought about it. But they said, white people would rather have us screaming Black Lives Matter versus Black Power. And I never thought about that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they waiting. Like, they don't care about the Black Lives Matter movement. But once they feel, once we feel like we're empowered, and once we have power, oh my God, that's what they're in trouble. They can let their lives have the Black Lives Matter because they got KKK. So they don't care. Do your Black Lives Matter chants, because if you notice, ever since the Black Lives Matter movement kicked off, now you got the Missouri scandal. Now you got white kids at the University of Missouri throwing rocks at black people, yelling out "nigger" more than ever before, spray painting "nigger" more than ever before. You know what I'm saying? Like
in Missouri?
At the University of Missouri.
That was a joke. Because you said more than ever before, so I'm confused like all hell. Like, more?
No, what I'm saying... You know what I'm saying? So, I'm just like... Again, so the Black Lives Matter movement is giving white people reason to come out and say the shit that they've been thinking for the longest time. You know what I'm saying? So that they're like, okay, well, if you can say it, then that means I can say it, so now we're equal. Right? On that front. But if we start getting power... And start, you know, making impacting real change, and the real changes, the changes happening in Washington D.C., the changes happening at the Chamber of Commerce, changes that need to occur at City Hall, changes that need to occur at the school board. You can have the streets, black people, but you can't have these offices. They don't give a damn about us having the streets. Once you start getting into these politics and getting into this money, getting into this economy, that's when we have a problem.
Speaking of. The Fed is poised to raise the interest rate for the first time in over 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's overdue. What you're going to see, though, is a panic on Wall Street initially, and especially because it's Q4. I think it would have been better to happen in Q3, but because it's Q4, you got a number of powerhouses like Walmart that's losing share. They're losing share to Amazon. Amazon is crushing Walmart to the tune where I believe for the first time you're actually going to start seeing some Walmart stores close. I get that feeling that they're going to go more to the supercenter model, and they're going to concentrate those supercenters in certain areas, establish a radius, and then start cutting them. I really see that happening. So those little itty-bitty Walmart, they'll be going away. You know, there's a Walmart in Baltimore that's on Route 40, and we call it the Ghetto Mart because, you know, it's a whole lot of folks over there. I really see that store going away. I know it's a huge moneymaker, but right up the street from that is a Sam's Club. So I think they'll entice people to go more into that Sam's Club, and there's a Supercenter not too much further away. Both on Washington Boulevard. I know you're not familiar with this, Brother Barry. Don't worry about it. And then another one back in the Owens Mills area. So it really doesn't make sense to continue to have that Walmart. And actually, there's a Supercenter also in Ellicott City. So that one really doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? I'm just looking at their landscape. I'm looking at how they're doing things, and I see that as being a true reality. There's one that's near Rundle Mills Mall. And, Brother Barry, if you ever come through, I hope you do come to the area for a visit. I got to take you to Rundle Mills. But there's one by Rundle Mills Mall. It's not a super center yet. They have the space, and I think they're actually going to make it into one because right next to it, there's a Costco. So it makes sense to actually convert that into a super center.
Away. So Walmart, I can see Walmart doing that. I can see that. I can definitely see that.
You know what I'm saying? So I think this is the first time which you're actually going to see an en masse closing of Walmart stores. A true announcement set in stone where some of these jokers are just going to go away. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to keep them all. You know what I'm saying?
They probably closed out most of the mom and pop shops anyway, right?
Yeah, they shut them down already. And the sad thing is that would actually give room for the return of the mom and pop spot, but people aren't going to go because they've been gone for so long. They got to get entrenched again into the community. You know, those things are all about relationships.
Definitely.
Are all about relationships. So when you lose that relationship, I'm sorry, cousin. It's all good. Once you lose that relationship, it's hard to get that back. Go ahead, friend. I see you wanted to jump in. Go ahead. Say what you need to say. Okay. So now you don't want to talk. That's fine.
No. Since I was pissed off with you, I muted you. But no. I think the reality of it is, like you said, a lot of it is going to like the Peapod type system. You know, Giant Foods has the Peapods where people go online and they order and they get the stuff shipped and delivered. And that's what has made Amazon so successful. So yeah, I could definitely see Walmart shutting down stores, but not just because they're losing revenue, but to compete with Amazon as far as the delivery system is concerned. You know, everybody loves everything. Go ahead.
I'm not trying to take away from that, but understand something. Amazon has taken over the United States Postal Service.
Yeah.
The United States Postal Service is now a arm of Amazon. I'm not saying literally, I'm saying figuratively. Amazon has come in and said, yo, look, we're going to give you X amount of dollars for an exclusive contract. We want you all to deliver our shit 7 days a week. And the Postal Service said, no problem, we got that, and we're running with it. The Postal Service is hiring so many people right now, and I'm about to get one of them jobs. I ain't even going to.
I'm telling you, I went in there on Thursday, like, yo, where can I get an app? Can I get an app, please?
You know what I'm saying? The Postal Service is hiring so many motherfuckers right now, it is ridiculous. And the good part and bad part about that is actually going to make some of the older people retire sooner because they're not going to hump that mail like that. They ain't going to hump it like that. So the ones that wanted to wait around for another 5 years or 7 years just to milk the whole thing out, they're going to, in another 2-3 years, they're like, yeah, nah, I'm out. So it's going to open up the floodgates for the young people who are getting it now to move up as they should. You know what I'm saying? To get
right.
Better position. So it's all good. I got to cut out pretty soon. So let's touch on some sports before we get out of here. The Panthers and the Pats are the only two undefeated teams left in the NFL. Everyone else has at least one loss. Denver, I believe, has two at this point. Cincinnati just was handed a loss. They lost by a point just the other day. But the Cheetah and the Panthers are – I'm sorry, did I say that? But the
Cheetahs and the Panthers. I like that one. That was good, cuz.
Panthers are the last undefeated teams left in the lead. Who do you think is going to take the first L?
I think the Patriots will.
Yeah.
The
Cheetahs. My bad. The Cheetahs.
I agree.
This week. They're losing this week to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Buffalo by 3.
Okay.
24-27.
my boy took a loss the other day. Duke lost to Kentucky. Early season action. I expected that to happen. We rebounded well last night against VCU. But one of the things that we all need to recognize when you follow college basketball is guard play dictates how far you're going to go. And right now, teams are still formalizing, and Kentucky looks good right now. Kentucky looks really good right now. Carolina, Maryland, they're still gelling. They're playing well, but they're still gelling. Duke took its L, and I expected that. That was nothing that came to a shock to me at all. I'm glad that we rebounded well. The college championship, football championship, is starting to heat up. Notre Dame is still in the running at number four.
Yeah.
A lot of people on our backs, man, about that. Talking about we don't deserve to be number four, blah, 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 blah. To them I say, look at our defense. Our defense has played very well this year. Even at Clemson, when we lost by three, we played them hellaciously well with the third-string quarterback at that point, to be honest with you, because let's be real, Golson was our quarterback coming into the season until he decided to go elsewhere. Then it was Zaire, and then he got hurt, and then the other cat came in. You know, I don't even remember this brother's name because he was so damn far on the depth chart. I ain't care to know his damn name. But he played well on the road in a very tense environment. We were getting our asses kicked in that game and came back on them jokers. That wasn't an easy task to make at all. So they going around talking Clemson, Clemson, Clemson. Remember, Clemson almost lost to us in that damn game. So why do we not deserve to be in that discussion, to be real with you? Now, Alabama,
we're not sharing the money. Because we're not sharing the money. That's what it boils down to. Yeah. That's what everybody's mad about. ESPN doesn't get money off Notre Dame. ABC, they might get a few checks because of the workings with the ACC and stuff like that. CBS, they only get the Army or Navy game. Networks aren't getting money off Notre Dame, and since that's the driver for a lot of these bowl games, nobody wants to talk about it.
Right.
It's about ratings, so that's the issue. But let me point this out: while they're constantly talking about who we beat and who lost after us, I just want to know. If Kentucky beat a team in the SEC and then they lose three games, does that make that team not good, or we still talk about how good the SEC is? And that's the thing with college football that cracks me up is even when you're beating ranked opponents, you get judged how they play afterwards. That don't make sense. Maybe you beating them psychologically destroyed them.
Tore their asses up.
Right, and then they haven't been able to get it together since. Can't you get credit for that? Just move on. So to me, I think that Notre Dame, if we went out, we should beat Boston College today at 6:30, and we should beat Stanford. If we went out, we better be in the playoffs. And if we're not in the playoffs, I believe that we have so much pull that the playoffs will be extended from four to possibly
six or eight,
if Notre Dame does not make it in, if we only have a one loss, because everyone else will have one loss. Except Clemson, and I think Clemson will take a loss too. I think Clemson would have lost if Golston was playing for Florida State.
Now Golston been tearing it up down there in Florida State, dog. Now he got hurt, and they started to sink the ship a little bit. But look, does Clemson play North Carolina this year? Because don't sleep on North Carolina.
They'll be in a championship game definitely.
Don't sleep on that.
Speaking of getting dusted off, man, I had a while to let this thing sink in, but my baby Ronda Rousey, she got destroyed. She got destroyed last week. In convincing fashion. I don't even think she landed a punch.
Right.
I don't think Ronda Rousey connected one time in that belt.
Right.
And what bothers me about it is that she started off promising, humble. She had a lot of success, and then all of that changed. Like, she became, like, this arrogant, pompous girl. You know, instead of her, you know, getting ready for a weigh-in, she looked like she's at a photo shoot modeling and stuff at the weigh-in,
mm-hmm.
running her mouth to Floyd Mayweather. She didn't dap the girl up before the bout started, and then the girl took it to her and handled it. I couldn't even look at. I missed the fight. I couldn't even look at the bag on at the highlights, man. I was so emotional about it.
I saw it. It was sweet chin music. That's all I could see.
Yeah.
Sweet chin music.
It was ridiculous, man. I just looked at the highlights like the day before yesterday. Like, that's how long it took me to get myself together to look at it. But she got dusted off, man, and people were saying that she is going to retire. She said that she's going to take a step away from UFC for a while to focus on acting. I don't think she's coming back after that. We'll say you, cuz.
Here's my thing about UFC and Ronda Rousey and all that. I'm always amazed in this country how white women feel like it's okay to compare themselves or talk the junk that she was talking to Floyd. I've always felt like it's a total disrespect, because here's one thing that we can guarantee. Layla Ali would have never talked about one of the greaties the way that Ronda Rousey
talked
about
Floyd. And Layla said that herself, by the way, after the fight. She pretty much, like, laughed, LOL'd in her damn face.
Right.
But that's a true statement. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But, you know,
I
think Dana White, you know, he did what I thought was just poor marketing with her. I think they do that to a lot of their champs. And, you know, they kind of have this thing where if you lose once or you lose twice, man, you're pretty much no longer a champ. And I think for an industry that's really – let's be real. UFC fans are a mixture of boxing and WWE fans, right?
Yeah.
So WWE, yo, the champ, Hulk Hogan lost some matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had Sugar Ray Leonard lose. We've had Muhammad Ali lose. We've had champs lose in boxing. My thing is, you know, because you lose a match don't mean you're over. Because you lose 2-3, you're not over. I think it's just all in how you market. And I think if she was humble, like her beginnings, I don't think the loss would have been as bad. It's just the things that she's done up, you know, leading up to the loss. And someone reminded me, you know, it's like when Lennox Lewis lost to Racine Rockman. And Racine said, I knocked your ass out because you was too busy acting. You was acting tough. And you got in the ring acting, and I showed you still boxing. And I think Ronda got that. She's been acting tough. She's talking about Hollywood and what she's going to do after UFC. But, you know, you got to focus on what got you there. If UFC is what got you there, the fighting, then you need to give your craft the respect that it deserves, and you need to practice. You got to focus.
Mm. All right.
But that sweet chin music, man, it was sweet.
he not the Holyfield, not Lennox Lewis. I had to look up.
He knocked out Lennox, and then Lennox came back and knocked him out the next following fight in the rematch.
Okay. Yep.
Remember
right.
Holyfield gave Rockman that
right.
hematoma.
You're absolutely right. My man, you're right. My bad. But look, y'all, I gotta go out. But Brother Barry, thank you very much for joining us this week.
Hey man, thank y'all, man. Y'all be safe out there. And man, I haven't forgot about you. I've been waiting on my cousin to get back with me to work over at University of Notre Dame to see about those tickets.
Oh. Keep it on the down low.
Oh, my bad, brother.
All right, brother. You all be good. You all be safe. Have a great week.
All right, brother. Peace.
Peace.
All right, peace.